encouragement that we just heard. You know, that our God is faithful. His mercy endureth forever. And I can testify about it. I was born Christian. When I was 14, I left home and I left the Lord. Too far to the point where I rejected the ideas that God existed. But in 2010, when God took me out from Sydney and moved me to Canberra, and I was involved in all sorts of things, all the drugs and all the life that was so far from Him, but He touched my life. He took me out. He washed me clean with His blood. He filled me with the Holy Spirit. And here I am right now, a new creature who have hope in Him. Amen. Of eternal life. And that is what mercy did for me. And God loves you tonight. And He wants to do the same thing to you. If you haven't given your life to Jesus, you can do it tonight. God loves you. Praise God.
I was hopeless, I knew I was lost, and death and darkness were my only songs. I needed someone to come rescue me, and mercy heard monthly. Lord, You found me, You healed me, You called me from the grave. Give me Your real love, thank You, Jesus. You washed my sins away. Now I'm living, I'm forgiven. You came and set me free. That's what Your mercy did for me. Me beauty for my guilty stain, and now I'm living day to day by His grace. So excuse me if I can contain my praise, 'cause I know that I've been saved. Lord, You found me, You healed me, You called me from the grave, gave me Your real love, thank You, Jesus. You washed my sins away. Well, now I'm living, I'm forgiven. You came and set me free. That's what Your mercy did for me.
God for His mercy, church. His mercies are new every day. David said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Somebody ought to say, thank you, Jesus, tonight. Thank you, Jesus. That's what his mercy did for me. And I thank God for his mercy. Amen. Thank you so much, Brother Akbar and our music team, blessing us with that song. And it just happens to go right in with our theme as we take communion tonight, as we remember Jesus's death and burial and resurrection. We remember what he did for us on the cross in saving us while we were yet sinners. Before we go any further, I just want to remind you that while we are unable to collect the offering here because there's no one here in the building right now, but we still are able to give electronically. And so the details will now be displayed on the screen. And you'll be able to give electronically with that BSB and account number. And we encourage you to continue to give your tithes and your offerings. Please don't forget your pledges for overseas missions and home missions and our orphanage in Northeast India. We need to continue to give and be faithful in our giving. I was thinking about Jesus' ministry. He borrowed a boat to preach from. When he pushed out into the ocean on that boat, he preached from the boat. He took the loaves and the fishes from the lad, and he fed the multitude with those 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He borrowed a boat. He took from the lad the 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He was placed in a borrowed grave. He rode on a donkey, which was borrowed. He entered Jerusalem on that borrowed donkey. It all just goes to show us, as we have this time of giving right now, that sometimes God asks for us what we have. He asks from us what we already have in order to remind us that everything is a gift from him. And everything we have in that first place is a gift from God. And so, Lord Jesus, as we give right now, Lord God, I just pray you would bless those that give. Lord, use these tithes, use these offerings for the furtherance of your kingdom. We just lift up our missionaries right now, especially Brother Michael and Sister Diane in East Timor, our home missionaries around Australia. Lord God, we just thank you, Lord, for their willingness to go and the sacrifices they have made. And Lord, that we would never forget, oh God, that, Lord, they need our support and our faithful giving to continue in this mission's work. We thank you, Lord, for this church, oh God, that we're able to reach outside the walls of this building to touch our city and our region. And we give you all the praise and all the glory. And all the church says amen. Amen. God bless you all. Amen. I thank God. I pray that you're ready tonight for communion. It's going to be a very, very special night, as later in the night we're going to take communion. Hopefully you've been able to pick up, the note went out to all of our church family, you've been able to pick up your communion pack during the week, because you're going to need that a little bit later on. However, if you haven't, there are probably some that haven't had a chance to come by, you can take the chance to find some grape juice. I've been in churches in remote areas where all they had was red cordial. It's only symbolic. It's only symbolic. And also maybe some flatbread, some sayos or saladas or something like that. So you don't have to miss out. You can do that, because at the end of this short message, we're going to take communion together. Thank you very much, musicians and singers. We've been blessed as you've taken us into the presence of God. Amen. Yes, today is Palm Sunday. And we enter now on this day, the beginning of the Passion Week. In Moses' time in the Exodus, it was a lamb had to be selected on Palm Sunday. A lamb was selected, had to be kept 4 days. 4 days later, that lamb was taken to a place of sacrifice. And on Palm Sunday, as Jesus rode through the streets of Jerusalem, yes, he also was selected by popular acclaim because of the miracles that he had done. But just like the lamb in the book of Exodus, just like the lamb in that Exodus out of Egypt on the Passover day, 4 days later on Good Friday, Jesus also was sacrificed. And so we're here today to remember the cross in this time of communion. The Bible says that we should remember it often. We must come to the table often. And so before we go any further, let's turn in our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. And if I could just have those scriptures on my fallback screen so I can see that. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. Hopefully you've got it in your Bibles there tonight. It says that at that time, you were without Christ. There was a time that you were without Christ, being aliens from the Commonwealth of Israel. And strangers, not just aliens, but strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in this world. He's speaking about the Gentiles, how they were aliens outside of the Commonwealth of Israel. He's talking about how they were strangers of the covenant of promise, how they were in the world that was created by God, but they were without God in the world. And in verse 13 it says, but now, I love this, just the way it just turns around. If they can throw verse 13 up, it says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were sometimes afar off are made nigh by the blood of Jesus Christ. We were aliens outside of the Commonwealth of Israel. We were strangers outside the covenant of promise. We were without hope. But now, now in Jesus Christ, you who were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Jesus. And just in case you ever wondered why we sing songs about the blood, this is why we sing songs about the blood of Jesus. There is power, power, wonder working power. Oh, the blood of Jesus. We sing it. Why? Because once upon a time we were without God. Once upon a time we were aliens outside of the Commonwealth of Israel. But now, because of the blood of Jesus, we are close. We can come into communion and fellowship with Jesus. And so tonight I want to minister on this thought in remembrance of him. In remembrance of him. Because of the blood of Jesus, we can see a transformation in our life like nothing else in the world. And Brother Akbar so well sung just a few moments ago about the mercy of God, about the blood of Jesus, how it washes us clean. How, though our sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as wool. Though they be as crimson, they shall be as white as snow. That is the power of the blood of Jesus. If we look in the book of Genesis, the first book of the Bible, we read about the importance of blood being shed for a covering of sin. In the account of Adam and Eve, and we read that they ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And by doing that, by disobeying God's word, they committed sin. When they realized that they had sinned, when they realized their nakedness, they tried, the Bible says, to cover themselves up with fig leaves. Those fig leaves speak of their own good intentions. They thought, maybe, you know, we can do something to cover our sin. And there's many people that though they have sin in their life, they think, you know what, if I just do some good things for somebody else, maybe God will just overlook my sin. And there they were, Adam and Eve. They took the fig leaves to cover themselves. It speaks of their own good intentions, their own desire to cover their sins in their own way. I'll never forget the sermon title of my grandfather, my mum's foster father. He preached a message. He was a fiery preacher, a great preacher. And he used to always have really, really good titles. And he preached a message called, "Excuse Me, Your Fig Leaf is Slipping." What a powerful message about how we try to cover our sins with our own good intentions. But fig leaves represents man's way of covering sin. But God, right back in the book of Genesis, required blood to be shed for the covering of sin. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 21, God made them coats of skins. Now, if you know anything about getting a skin off an animal, it requires the shedding of blood. God made them. Your fig leaves were not enough. But God made them coats of skins and he clothed them. And in this very act, God instituted the principle of substitution in sacrifice. To cover our sin, there had to be a sacrifice. An animal had to die. And allowing the innocent death to substitute for the punishment due to his sinful children. God instituted that principle of sacrifice. That innocent animal would die in the place of Adam and Eve, who were then covered with the skins of that innocent substitution sacrifice. And so this is a type, and over the last couple of months, we've been talking about types and shadows and types and anti-types. But this story of Adam and Eve and the covering, it is a type and a shadow of what Jesus would do for us to cover our sins, because he was the Lamb of God, and his blood would be shed to cover our sins. Then we take our step to the next book of the Bible. From Genesis, we go to Exodus, where God miraculously delivered the people of Israel out of bondage in Egypt. And that place, Egypt, speaks of sin. It's a type and shadow of sin. And so due to Pharaoh's hard heart, and he refused to free those Hebrew slaves, God sent a series of 10 plagues upon Egypt. It was as they were preparing for the 10th and final plague that God gave the Israelites very specific instructions on how they could be saved from the angel of death. God gave them very specific instructions. And I want to stop and make this point right now. When it comes to salvation, God is very, very specific. He doesn't leave any stone unturned. You can find the plan of salvation in the Word of God. God is very specific, just like he instituted the way the tabernacle plan was to be set up. Just like the details of the ark that Noah and his family went on. Just as he gave the dimensions, God was very specific, and God is still very specific about salvation. And so in the previous 9 plagues, the Israelites were kept safe from the horrors and the plagues because of the fact that they were Jewish. But when it came to the tenth plague, it didn't matter if they were Jewish. Not even the Jews were exempt from the angel of death. Even the Jews had to go and apply the blood of a lamb on the lintel and the doorposts. The only way they could be saved from the last and greatest judgment of God was by the sacrifice of the lamb. And they had to not just sacrifice that lamb, but the blood had to be applied to their homes, to the doorposts and the lintels of their homes. We pick up the account in Exodus chapter 12 and verse 13. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, God says, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. The blood had to be applied. And that Exodus story is not just about Israel and their salvation out of Egypt. It is also about our salvation, because Egypt speaks of sin. And that Exodus story, we can still have an Exodus out of sin. God is still saving people from Egypt. It's not just about Israel, because that story of Egypt and Israel, it was just a type and shadow of things to come. Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, would die for our sins to purchase us, to save us from Egypt. And so you say, Pastor, how can I apply the blood to my life? Just like they applied the blood to the doorposts and lintels, the blood must be applied to our life. How can we do it? The blood is applied to our life when we are born again. Jesus told Nicodemus, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. When we repent of our sins, when we are baptized, filled with his spirit, you see what happens is the blood of Jesus is applied to our life. The Exodus, if you read it, and you've probably got some time now to read over it, but it's the clearest picture in the Old Testament that today salvation only comes through the death of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, that takes away the sins of the world. That's why we sing that old song, thank God for the blood. Thank God for the blood. 1 Corinthians 5 verse 7, Paul says this, for even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Paul makes the link from the New Testament right back to the Exodus and says, Jesus Christ is our Passover lamb and is sacrificed for us. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 18 and 19 says, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver or gold from your vain conversation received by the tradition from your fathers, but you were redeemed, the Bible says, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. So we go back to our text in Ephesians. In our text, Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus. It's important that we understand the setting of the scripture that we have read in Ephesians 2 verse 12 and 13. It's important to understand the setting and the culture that these believers in Ephesus were coming out of. Ephesus was an ungodly place. It sounds a lot like our city of Canberra. Ephesus was a place that was full of idolatry and debauchery. It was a very, very wicked place, a very, very wicked environment in Ephesus. Ephesus was where the temple to the goddess Diana was located. A beautiful temple, yes, it was made entirely of marble, solely dedicated, though, to pagan worship. That was what Ephesus was. That was where the church at Ephesus was. That was the environment that they were immersed in. And pagan worship was what drove that local economy. It was all about pagan worship. And I've been through communities in India, especially in Calcutta, where whole communities, the whole economy is about making idols. And that's what Ephesus was about. The whole economy revolved around pagan worship. And so Paul is writing to the people at Ephesus. And this is what you've got to get. This church at Ephesus are worshiping the one true living God. And they're living in such a wicked city. Let me tell you, that ought to give us courage. That ought to give us boldness. That if the church can do it in Ephesus, we can do it in Canberra. That we can stand for righteousness. That we can live for God. That we can lift up the name of Jesus, even in a wicked city, in our wicked country. And that's why he says to the church at Ephesus, he says, once upon a time, you were without Christ. You were aliens outside of the commonwealth of Israel. You were strangers of the covenant of promise. Once upon a time, he said, you were no hopers. You were no hope and you were without God in the world. You were living in a world made by God, but you were living in a world without the God who made the world. But now, he's reminding them, oh, what a beautiful story, what a beautiful passage this is. Although you were aliens once you were strangers, once you were without God, but now in Christ Jesus, those who were afar off, those that were involved in the pagan worship, that those who were in that pagan environment in that city of Ephesus, they are now made nigh by the blood of Jesus. And I just want to thank Jesus right now that I, through the blood of Jesus, I can come into communion with him, that veil was torn from the top to the bottom, and now I can go into the Holy of Holies. And if that's you today, if you're standing outside of the Holy of Holies, I want to tell you that you can have a relationship with God, that you can know the presence of God again in your life, because that's what the blood of Jesus does. It's easy for us to forget what God saved us from, and Paul reminds the church at Ephesus exactly what they have been saved from. And you know, we stand in church and we have the custom of getting dressed up for church, and I like that. I like that, because if you were going to go see the queen or the king, you'd go put on a suit. If you're going to go to a job interview, you'd get dressed up for church. But you know, there's something about getting dressed up for church, though, is that we come here looking all good. But you know what? We weren't always like that. We come to church looking like good Christians because we wear our suit and wear our tie. But you know what? We may look good today, but where would you be if it wasn't for Jesus Christ? You may be able to come to church with a smile on your face and no alcohol on your breath and not stinking like cigarettes anymore. But we must remember that it's not our own righteousness. Our own righteousness is but a filthy rag or a fig leaf. But we stand saved because of the blood of Jesus. We were once afar off, but now we are made nigh by the blood of Jesus. And that is what communion is all about. As we remember that I am not here today because of anything that I have done of myself or of my own, but I am saved because of the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And so Paul is reminding the church where they came from. They were once without hope and without God. And the purpose of this communion table is to remember the death of Jesus Christ. In a few weeks, we will celebrate Anzac Day. It'll be a different celebration this year. They won't have the gatherings, but we celebrate Anzac Day to remember that we are the nation we are because of the sacrifice of the soldiers that have gone before. We celebrate it every year. We celebrate it often because it's important to remember where we came from. And the same is with the communion table. We celebrate it often, the Bible says. Jesus said, "This do you often in remembrance of me." We do it often because we need to remember that we didn't do this in our own strength, but Jesus Christ shed his blood for us so that we can be saved. And so the church at Ephesus is the story of our world today. The world we live in is a world without God. And until creation gets back into relationship with their creator, until this world gets back into relationship with God, we're going to have problems. But I want to tell you today that this world still has hope because it is the blood of Jesus that builds the bridge. It's the blood of Jesus that builds the bridge. And some of you tonight that are listening to this message, you know exactly what I'm talking about, because the blood of Jesus built a bridge to where you were lost in your sin, without God, without hope, aliens, outside of the promise. You were lost, but it was the blood of Jesus that built a bridge. Let me show you. It built a bridge. It says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were sometimes afar off, that chasm of distance between us and where God was, we are now made nigh. We cross that bridge by the precious blood of Jesus. Thank God for the blood. There is power, wonder-working power. It builds a bridge, the precious blood of Jesus. And so Ephesus was a wicked city. They were afar off. They were without God. Their past was dedicated to all kinds of gods and sins. But now in Christ, they are new creatures. It was the blood of Jesus that built a bridge for us to cross over from where we were to where we are today. I thank God that the blood builds a bridge. 1 Peter 1 verse 19, it says, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish, and without spot. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 19 and 20 says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest. How do we enter into the holiest place? How do we go into the holy of holies? It says, having therefore, brethren, boldness. It's on your screen there. To enter into the holiest. How? By the blood of Jesus. By a new and living way. What is that new and living way? Let me tell you, the only living way is when you're living for Jesus. By a new and living way, which he has consecrated for us through the veil. We can go through the veil. We can go into the presence of God. That is to say, his flesh. His body was broken. His blood was shed for us that we could go and have communion with God. I want to remind you, maybe you're gathering and watching this, I want to tell you that Jesus' blood was not just shed for the people that gather here at Calvary Chapel, for those that are saved now. But even though you may be lost and afar from God, I want to remind you that the blood of Jesus was shed for you as well. And you can cross that bridge. You can come and get right with God again because of the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus was shed for everyone. Anybody, let me clarify it, anybody and everyone. And so Palm Sunday. Today's Palm Sunday. We do on this Palm Sunday. I can't forget last year as we gathered here, almost probably just over 400 strong as we gathered here on Palm Sunday and had communion. It's very different today because there's just a small handful of people gathering here, only those that are essential. We find ourselves in a very precarious position. We are faced with COVID-19, or as we've come to know it, the coronavirus. And the Greek word corona, if you look it up, it means crown. And so on this Palm Sunday, we must ask ourselves, do we crown him Lord and do we humbly seek his grace? Or like that first Easter, are we going to give him a crown of thorns? Do we cry, crucify him and be blinded by pride and stumble further into doom? I pray that this Palm Sunday that somebody would decide to make Jesus the king of their life and to crown him in the midst of all this coronavirus right now, that somebody would crown Jesus the king of their life. Or will you be like those who just 1 week after Jesus rode through Jerusalem yelled out, crucify him? You see, when the cross was driven into the timeline of mankind, it leveled the playing field. Not only the priests, but now because of the blood, everybody and anybody can come to Jesus. We now have access to the Holy of Holies by the blood of Jesus. The blood builds a bridge. All my past, all my mistakes, this is for somebody tonight, all my shame, all of the sin, it's all washed away by the blood of Jesus. And so if you want to be free from the weight of sin in your life, you've got to apply the blood to your life, to be born again, to repent and be baptized. The Bible says when When you repent, you can be filled with the Holy Spirit. You'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's all available to us because the blood builds a bridge. There is still power in the blood. The blood will never lose its power. The old song sung by Andre Crouch says, it reaches to the highest mountain. It flows to the lowest valley. The blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power. I thank God for the blood. The blood builds a bridge. We do this tonight. We take communion in remembrance of Him. And I want you to take some time to reflect on your testimony and what Jesus has done for you. 1 Corinthians 11. And I'm going to ask Brother Akbar and Sister Kim to come in a moment to come and pray and thank God for His broken body and His blood that was shed. But in 1 Corinthians 11, now the whole portion of Scripture is not going to be on the screen, but this is a very, very important portion of Scripture that we're going to read to do with communion. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which was broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also He took the cup. And when He had supped, saying, this cup is the new testament in my blood. This do you as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death until He comes. You remember the Lord's death until He comes again. Wherefore, this is important, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. Communion is not for anybody that has not purposed in their heart to live for Jesus. If you've turned your back on God and you're rebelling from God and you've got no desire to live for God, let me tell you, this is not for you because you would be partaking unworthily. Some may say, well, who is worthy? Because if I was to ask somebody, are you worthy to partake? Anybody who raised their hands and said, I'm worthy, they would be rendered unworthy. We are all unworthy. But if we are desiring to live for Jesus, if we have repented of our sins, if we are desiring to live for Him and to walk away from the sin of this world, then you can partake with us tonight. It says, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily, he shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself. And now is a very sacred time as we examine ourselves, our lives. Where do we stand with God? Maybe we need to make ourselves right with God. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, it says again, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. And for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait on each other. Don't rush to take the communion and fight over it, but wait on each other. Tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come. Right now, church, I'm going to ask you to take your communion elements right now. You have these little packages, which can be a little bit tricky. But there's two parts to it. There's a clear cover on the top, which you will peel off and you'll be able to get the bread. And then as we proceed through this communion service, we'll peel the second layer off, which will open up the glass so we can drink the grape juice. Right now, I'm going to ask Sister Kim and Brother Akbar to come and stand alongside me. I'm going to step back a little bit. They're going to stand either side. We're going to keep that proper distance. But I'm going to ask them to pray and thank God. Sister Kim, if you could thank God for His blood that was shed for us. And Brother Akbar, if you could thank the Lord for His broken body. Amen.
Lord, we come to You with hearts of Hallelujah. Thankfulness, God. Hearts, oh God, just so grateful for the sacrifice that You have made for us. Amen. Lord, and I think about this time, there are many who are suffering and losing loved ones and the pain that they go through. And Lord, to think that you would put yourself through that for us, oh God, that you would choose to die in our place so that we would not have to do that. God, we are grateful for this today. We are thankful for the blood that you shed, that you allowed yourself to be pierced, oh God. You allowed yourself to be whipped and beaten, those nails to be put through your hands. Yes, God, Jesus, that you would do this just to save us because of your great love. And so we thank you tonight. We thank you for your blood that washes us clean and pure over every sin, every sickness, every darkness, God. Your blood reigns, God. We thank you for it tonight. We pray that you would bless this as we remember you. Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. Lord, we come tonight, Lord, with thanksgiving in our hearts. We love you so much, and we thank you for what you've done at Calvary for us, God. That your body was broken for our transgression. That we can stand here made whole. God, and we don't take this lightly. God, as we come tonight, we want to ask for your forgiveness for every sin and every pride, every rebellion, Lord, in our lives. We surrender. We ask that you would touch us. Blot out our transgressions. Lord, and forgive us our sin, God. We would like to commit tonight unto you and make a declaration that we would like to live for you, Jesus. We will walk in your ways, God. We just want to pray right now, Jesus. That you would bless each and every one of us. From the bottom of our hearts, we thank you, God. We love you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Yes.
And I believe tonight as we take communion that there is healing power. The Bible says that by his stripes we are healed. Reminded of the time when I was just a young child when my mother stood at a communion table and was healed of cancer. By his stripes we are healed. And if there's anybody here joining us in communion tonight and you need healing in your body, I'm believing that Jesus can touch you right now as we partake of communion and that you can experience healing in your body. Brother Peter, I'm thinking of you right now. Sister Venning, I'm thinking of you right now. That God would just touch your body. And so now if you can proceed to just peel off the top layer there. Take that little bit of bread. Bible says that the same night which Jesus was betrayed, that he took bread. And when he had given thanks, and Brother Akbar has given thanks for the bread, the Bible says that he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Let's partake right now and let's thank the Lord for his body that was broken for us. We would never understand everything that Jesus went through. No artist depiction could correctly show us the pain and the agony that our Savior went through. We do this in remembrance of Jesus. Let's partake now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, yes, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verse 25, it says, "And after the same manner also he took the cup. When he had supped, saying, 'This cup is the new testament in my blood. This do you as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.' For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death until he comes." I'm looking forward to Jesus coming back. This is all part of keeping in the routine and keeping the remembrance of what Jesus did on the cross until he comes back again. So right now, if you just carefully peel back that top layer, you have to be careful so you don't spill it. This is grape juice. It symbolizes his blood. It's part of our remembrance of his blood that was shed for us. And as we learn tonight, it's his blood that builds a bridge. It's the blood of the Lamb which saved the children of Israel as they came out of Egypt. And it's the blood of the Lamb that saves us, the blood of Jesus. Let's eat, let's drink, and thank Jesus for his blood that was shed for us. Amen. Why don't you just have some silent time right now as we just wait on the Lord. Just thank Him that He has saved us from our sins. That His blood built a bridge for us. We love You, Jesus. We love You, Jesus. We love You, Jesus. We love You, Jesus. Oh, yes, it's Your blood that gives me strength. It's Your blood that gave me life, Lord Jesus. Where would I be if it wasn't for Your blood, oh God? I thank You, Lord, that Your blood built a bridge. When I was lost, when I was an alien, outside of the commonwealth of Israel, when I was without hope, when I was without God, Your blood flows down 2,000 years and still washes us clean. We thank You, Jesus, for Your blood tonight. Come on, let's just lift our hands right now. Children, especially children. My children at home, Lachlan, Lucas, why don't you just raise your hands right now? All the children, let's just raise our hands. This is a very special time because we are nothing without Jesus. We are nothing without the cross. We are nothing without His blood. And just let the presence of God minister to you in your home right now. Somebody needs to repent of their sin and come back to God. Somebody needs to take that step and be born again, baptized in Jesus' name. Oh, it's Your blood that gives me strength. Oh, yes, Lord.